So welcome back to Christians in the Time of Coronavirus. Thank you for being a part of this special series of podcasts. I'm Dan Darling, author, pastor, and speaker. You can find my information about me at my website, danieldarling.com. Thankful for lifeaudio.com, crosswalk.com for partnering with me to make these series of podcasts possible. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about what is the Christian's response to the government. And I think this is an increasing question we're having in the time of coronavirus, with state and local and national and international government bodies having to make unprecedented moves to essentially shut down life in many parts of the world in uncomfortable ways, including church gatherings and other things. And so there's been a lot of discussion about religious liberty, about Christians' response to the government. I'm not going to be able to cover all those issues in this kind of podcast, but I do think we should meditate on some of the things that we see in Scripture. And so I want to read Romans 13, which is, I think, a really central passage for understanding. This is Paul talking to the Christians in the Roman Empire during a time when Christians were not really, didn't enjoy that many, that much freedom in the Roman Empire. This was not yet the time of increased violent persecution against Christians, which lasted for several centuries, but it's coming. And even now, at the time of Paul's writing, they're increasingly feeling the pinch and the threat from the Roman government. So Paul writes, "Let everyone subject to the governing authority, since there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are instituted by God. So then the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have its approval. For it is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reason. For it is God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who does wrong. Therefore, you must submit, not only because of wrath, but also because of your conscience. And for this reason, you pay taxes, since the authorities are God's servants, continually attending to these tasks. Pay your obligations to everyone, tolls to those you own tolls, respect to those you own respect, and honor to those you owe honor." So this is a really important text. There's a couple of things we need to keep in mind. First of all, Paul is saying to the Christians that when you are discouraged and weary of rulers who do not rule well, who are making seemingly capricious and ridiculous laws, who will maybe even be persecuting you, don't despair. That's the first thing he's trying to say, I think, is that, listen, God is not up in heaven wringing his hands. He's allowed these civil authorities to execute his will. And so, as frustrating as it can be to live under civil rulers, God has ordained that. God has put them there. They did not put themselves there, then put them there. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I think it's a kind of a warning to those who hold authority in any kind of civic manner that you do not have your authority because you're popular or you ran a good campaign or you're related to somebody or you were able to put people down with brutal power. That may be the physical cause of why you're in power. But really you're in power because God has allowed you to there, and he can put you up and he can take you down. So I think it's a warning to civil authorities to say that use your power wisely because God has put you there. Third, I think it's telling us when we can and when it doesn't violate Scripture, we should follow the rules made by civil authorities, even when we don't like them. So he mentions taxes. Taxes in the Roman Empire were absolutely exorbitant. They were oppressive. And Paul says, yeah, pay them because God has given them that authority. He's saying, obey the government, obey the authorities, the civil authorities, unless they tell you to violate your conscience, to violate Scripture. There's times to resist the authority. Peter said, famously, we obey God rather than man. He's going to preach the gospel. They're not going to tell him what to say. He's going to preach the gospel. Not going to censor and tell him what he can preach and what he can't preach. There's times for that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not going to bow down to that statue. We're just not. And we'll take the consequences for it. That's the thing. we're going to take the consequences to do that. But by and large, we should obey the civil authorities. Now, what this doesn't say is, if you have voice and you have a vote, we should use that to shape the society in which we live. And so Romans 13 doesn't mean that, for instance, if you're in a representative republic like ours, and we have a say in who rules over us, and we have a say in the kind of laws that are made because we can speak out, we can call our representatives, you know, we're in representative government. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't use those tools. We should. Romans 13 doesn't mean just sit back and not do those things. So we should speak out. We should speak up. But by and large, the laws that are made, we should obey them. Now, particularly, there's been a lot of question with churches. You know, churches have been asked not to meet during this time. There's a good question of, do we obey this dictate from the government when the government says not to meet? It's complicated, because if the state and local authorities were singling out churches, for instance, and saying everyone else can meet, but churches cannot meet, then I think we would say, no, this is a violation of our religious liberty. But at least in most places, the governments are saying we can't have any assembly over a certain amount because it's a public health issue. In that case, we should follow it because we love our neighbors and we don't want our neighbors to get sick. We don't want them to die from this. And we have the tools where it's not like physically meeting. It's not the same as coming to church physically, but we can preach the gospel and we can meet via live stream and all those things. It's temporary, but we can do it. They're not telling us what we can say. Now, there have been some cases around the country where state and local authorities have gone too far. They've singled out churches in a capricious way. And thankfully, you know, the courts have slapped them down and there's been recourse for that. So I do think Christians, when they're being singled out, and it is a legitimate case, should exercise their rights and fight for that. But by and large, God has given authority to the government. And we should try to work with our local authorities in ways that can make that work. And so I think that this is important for us to understand and to grapple with. Romans 13 doesn't mean we don't criticize at times, or it doesn't mean we don't speak out. It doesn't mean that we don't try to change the laws that we feel are not good for human flourishing. You know, Romans 13, for instance, doesn't mean that we don't speak out on issues like racism or abortion or human trafficking. You know, we don't try to shape the laws that hurt the vulnerable. But it also just means we trust that God has put these people in place, and we can take comfort in knowing that even when we have rulers that are not motivated by the right things, that God has put them in place, and we can take comfort in that during this season. This is a time of coronavirus where everybody is kind of trying to do the best they can with incomplete information. And so Christians should, for the most part, be cooperative, and if there's an egregious case of a violation of religious liberty, we should speak out. So hopefully that helps you. Romans 13, there's a lot more there, but hopefully that will help us during the season of coronavirus. Thank you for joining me today.
In a world where relationships are easily broken and often discarded, the Rebuilding Us Marriage Podcast is your lighthouse, guiding the way to hope, restoration, and transformation in Christ. I'm your host and marriage coach, Dana Shea. Join me as we discuss the necessary tools for rebuilding marriages from adversity, betrayal, and disconnection. It's time to reignite love as we rebuild marriages from the ground up. Listen to the Rebuilding Us Marriage podcast on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.